We're gonna call this in. Good afternoon, we're gonna call to order the West Lafayette Community School Corporation Special Meeting Board of School Trustees, Wednesday, July 8th, 2020.
We all know by being outside that it's July. And I want to have a first, have an approval of the agenda for the today's meeting. I need a motion, please. Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye, and opposed? Opposed? And I'm seeing Rachel Witt is here as well, though she's not in town today, but she is here, and that motion does carry. New business, I have none. We'll go to, directly to the topic of today's meeting, that is the reopening plan for the 2020-21 school calendar. And Rocky, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Karfik. Thank you all for attending, and I do appreciate all the comments that we have received yesterday and today. And we don't take those comments lightly. Believe me, this has been a work in progress and will continue to be a work in progress. What you're going to hear today is this is the first step of reopening. June 5th, the governor indicated that schools should open. There is a little bit of a debate whether he mandated on-site instruction or e-learning. If there are people that are signed up for on-site instruction, we are required then to have on-site instruction. And I can tell you there's lots of people that are interested in on-site instruction because I've heard from them in talking with administrators, teachers, parents, community members. People are anxious to try to somehow have school this fall. So that's what we're focusing on as we get started. Before I get into the topics to cover with regards to the reopening plan, there are a lot of people I want to thank because this was done in this was done with a lot of input from various groups and individuals. I want to thank Dr. Adler and Mr. Houston from the Tippecanoe County Health Department for assisting us. I want to thank the West Lafayette Education Association leadership, teachers, staff. I want to thank our school building teachers, staff, committees. I want to thank our selected parents, our administration, our legal counsel. I want to thank the guidance received from the Indiana Department of Education, also central office, and parents and community members who have reached out. Thank you all. That's why we have community built into the name of our school, West Lafayette Community. And we are trying to do the best job possible under a very difficult circumstance to reopen school as we've been directed to do. One of the issues I want to hit upon is the issue of governance. And a lot of people don't quite understand the issue of governance with regards to the public schools. And so I brought my handy dandy Indiana code that are the requirements for Indiana public schools. So if you get bored this summer, it is Title 20. There are approximately 2,000 pages for reading with regards to governance, requirements, what we have to follow. And this is basically the manual that we have to follow with regards to Indiana code requirements of public schools. The question always comes up is what can you enforce as a public school and what can you not enforce as a public school? Student discipline is covered in here. Teacher due process is covered in here. Teacher contract and administration contract cancellations are covered in here. When can you keep a child out of school, etc. So we have to follow the mandates given to us or any type of an executive order that we might receive from the state that would waive a requirement of this book. So please keep that in mind as we're talking about this reopening plan. Let me give you just a quick example. You all might remember at the end of February, 1st of March, we were all getting bombarded, specifically my office, about closing school. Remember what was happening in the end of February and 1st of March, and the pandemic started to creep up. We were getting inundated in my office with regards to closing school. And what I kept trying to explain to people is Until a waiver or an executive order is given, we could not close down school. And I even had some patrons say that I was lying, that I was hiding behind bureaucrat statements. There's a 180-day requirement. There are 5 hours in the elementary school day. There are 6 hours in the secondary day that we had to follow until we got an executive order or a waiver. We could not deviate from that. And so I could not automatically close school down. Now, a health department could, the state of Indiana could, but we could not. So please keep that in mind as we go forward, that there are some things that we can do and there are some things that we can't do, and we have to have certain supports, executive orders and mandates, in order to get that accomplished. So current requirements as they stand right now is we're required to open school in the fall of 2021 school year. We need to have on-site instruction for students and parents who select that, no choice. Right now, the requirement is 180 days, 5 hours elementary, 6 hours secondary, no waiver, no choice at this point. And we are waiting for possibility of waivers. There might be other mandates. So please understand that this plan that we're presenting is a first step. We have to start planning now in order to plan for the reopening of school. I guarantee to you where we are right now probably will look much different 3 or 4 weeks from now. So we may get additional mandates, we may get additional requirements that will cause this plan to evolve. So please keep that in mind. I know everybody wants answers today. I don't have all the answers. Our school district doesn't have all the answers. Our state does not have all the answers. All I know is what I know right now, and we're required to reopen. We're required to have on-site instruction. We're required to have 180 days. We're required to have 5 hours at least at elementary and 6 hours at the secondary. So let me give you a quick overview of the current plan and some of the components. There is a little flexibility with the plan in regards to trying to help people get started back into school, our students and our staff. So you'll see the calendar has some staggered starts with scarlet and gray groups. We will identify the scarlet and gray groups during registration. So scarlet group will start on August 13th, and then the gray group will start on August 14th. There's a weekend. And then on August 17th, the scarlet group, August 18th, the gray group. And then we will start bringing everybody back together. And that gives us 4 good days with fewer people, fewer students in the schools to help us teach them the protocols that we're going to have within our schools based upon this plan. We have required student and staff training that we're going to provide on Wednesday, August 12th, in which staff will be on site for learning about COVID-19 and signs and protocols and procedures. And then our parents and students will receive an instructional link that you can also receive training on COVID-19. In our plan, we have what we believe we can enforce, and we have recommendations and guidance based upon legal counsel, based upon our local county health officials, based upon our resources. The things that we know that we can enforce and the things that we can enforce, we've tried to address all those issues based upon where we currently are right now. We will have virtual learning for any student that has a medical, physical issue that can be documented medically, and or they have someone at home that has a medical, physical issue in which they should not be within a crowd, be within social gatherings. During registration, parents can choose a virtual option learning component if you give us a medical documentation with regards to it. We are going to hire an outside vendor so that we can take care of those students and take care of those families as we get started. More information about that will be forthcoming. We're going to focus primarily on on-site instruction and create a part-time, if you will, e-learning blend for students that are coming to school and maybe on occasion have to be absent because they have to self-quarantine, they're not feeling well. Because one of the checklists, we don't want students in school if they're not feeling well. So we put an e-learning component attached to the on-site instruction because as I've told our teachers and as I told our administrators, we don't have enough staff at this point to have them teach all day here in the schools and do e-learning at night for the kids that don't have a medical excuse. Now that may change as we get closer to the start of school based upon additional resources we might receive, based upon registration. So those are some of the things to keep in mind. We are putting together checklists, safety protocols, PPE equipment. We're trying to do everything that we can to ensure that when people come to school, they'll be safe, and we're going to try to do this with fidelity. There have been some specific questions with regards to our plan. I'm going to try to address very, very quickly. Alternating student days so that half the students are in school at any given time the entire school year. There's not enough calendar days to get the 180 days in to do that. I've already counted. We can't do that. We can do it for the first 4 days, and so we've chose that option. What about mandates? Can we mandate testing? Can we mandate masks? Can we mandate taking temperatures? We tried to address that in the preface of the plan. We are going to require, when social distancing is not allowed, masks within our schools. Masks may not be required all the time. If I'm in a small group instruction and I can keep social distancing, we may not require those masks at that time. If I'm in choir, a mask will be required. If I'm in a large group instruction, teachers can set their rules based upon what they need to keep themselves safe and their students safe, much like we do for any academic program. Choir, band, orchestra, vocational, all the classrooms have varying rules based upon the needs of that classroom. And so we have told the teachers that if they mandate masks in the classrooms, we will support that. Now, the enforceability is the issue because the corporation at this point is waiting for mandates for enforceability. Therefore, that's why we have rendered the language about masks the way that we have within our plan. There's a request for a separate e-learning for students or for parents who don't want to send their students to school. We might be able to do that, but I won't know until registration. And registration, we're going to start early around July 20th. The problem that we have is I don't have enough math, science, language arts, teachers, etc., to have replication of an educational system, but there may be some opportunities if we have maybe a little decrease in the number of students coming to school, or we have some staff members who want to volunteer and have a medical issue. We have still yet to work on that. So you're going to have to be patient with us and give us a little time. We want to get information and preferences from our community and from our parents. We're going to do that during registration. That's one of the reasons why, you know, I've been asked, why didn't you send out a survey? We're actually going to do live data survey in our registration process so we know preferences and we can figure out staffing, etc. Please understand, here's a big issue which a lot of people don't understand. It won't work like it did last time, where we were closed and everyone stayed employed. If we don't have kids in school, and if we're not open, and if we're shut down again and we have to do e-learning, there could be a lot of issues with regards to laying off staff because we won't need all the staff. So that's something that we're watching very closely. You're going to have discussions about. We have received money from the CARES Act, $143,000. We are using that for technology to purchase PPE materials. I've been asked what happens if the board does not approve the plan. We've been ordered to reopen. So if I don't have a plan to reopen, then we reopen like we always do. And I would suggest that that's not a good way to go right now. But if we're required to reopen, whether we have a plan or not, we're going to have to reopen. This plan allows us some local guidance and direction so our administration, teachers, and staff can plan that. We've been asked if we can police where people have traveled, where they've gone, and why just leave it to quarantine folks that are traveling outside the country. It's very hard to police where people have come from and what they've done. So we're going to do our best to try to figure that out, but we don't want to create a mandate that we can't enforce or we can't follow. But we're going to have internal protocols to try to help us determine those things. I've been asked, what can parents do to assist? You can follow the checklist, stay supportive, provide positive constructive feedback, offer solutions, make sure you keep your children home when they're ill. We are requiring students to have masks on their persons when they come to school. And if a child doesn't have a mask, we're going to try to have those masks available so that we can help those children. We want to make sure that everyone is safe. Can this plan change? Absolutely. My recommendation to the board will be to accept this plan and to understand that if we get a new mandate, we get new requirements, the plan automatically adjusts if we get the right governing body per Indiana code to help us make those adjustments. Lastly, what's next in this process? We need to start somewhere, and that's why we're all gathered here today. We've been working on this for 3 to 4 weeks. A lot of people have been involved with this. It's not a perfect plan. It doesn't cover everything everyone wants. I guarantee to you that if you want something, I can find someone who wants the exact opposite. Been there, done that, still doing it. So understand that we don't have everything that I think everyone wants, but it's a start so we can start planning to reopen our schools. And then if we get a mandate, then we'll adjust that. So in closing, schools can't do it alone. We're gonna need everyone working together. I like this book, if you get a chance, Schools Cannot Do It Alone by Jamie Vollmer. Just as some people believe schools should be open, there are people who believe schools should close. We have covered just about every topic that you can think of in this reopening plan. When you come up and ask questions or give comments, what we're going to do is capture that information, because in the future we might have some better answers for you as things adjust and develop. So what I'd like to do is to make a motion to the school board to, as a starting point, to accept this plan to get us started so that the administration and staff, teachers, can start planning for the reopening with the understanding and with support of legal counsel that if we get a mandate that is supported by Indiana Code and a governing body supported by Indiana Code, that mandate would automatically be implemented within the plan. We need to make adjustments that aren't mandates, then we would look at our next meeting or maybe even sooner if we need to with regards to making any adjustments. So that's my recommendation to the board, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Carpick.
Okay, we're gonna take a motion and or take the motion and get a second, and then we will allow for public comment. There have been about 7 or 8 people that have signed up to talk. So I need a motion, please, to initially.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Schott and a second by Dr. Springer. With respect to the communication from the audience, just a couple of quick notes. You know, first of all, thank you all for taking the time to come tonight or this afternoon. You know, it is the public comment section, and we ask you to do just 2 simple things. Keep all your comments as brief as possible in under 3 minutes. And secondly, also please avoid repeating other messages made by other patrons. We don't have that many people signed up to speak, but keep cognizant of that. But to be clear, we as Rocky has talked about and as a board, we have certainly talked about this. We may make modifications to the plan as a result of public comments like you're making today and further input from regulatory agencies as consideration for adoption. The fact of the matter is we're here to listen. None of us have the answers to what's going on, every answer to what's going on with this pandemic, and it's caused a difficulty for everyone. But we are here to take extensive notes and move forward during this challenging time. And we also know that tonight's discussion and adoption of the plan is a starting point. You've heard that about seven times already, but that's the reality. And we give that, and as we give the formal authority to do something that the administrators and staff have to do, have been doing really since March. I mean, we've been having the discussion since the 5th of June, but we've all looked forward since whatever day that we closed school before spring break, and the day that we were able to reopen it, and our plan and desire to open it as safely as possible. So I'll start because you're at the top of the list. Amy Austin, Mrs. Austin, would you like to, and if you would come and state your name and approach the mic, the floor is yours. And you can take your mask, certainly.
Oh, sure.
Thanks.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. What's that?
I'm turning a board member.
Okay, that's just Rachel moving in.
Hi, Rachel. I'm Amy Austin, newsletter Amy, and I came to acknowledge the hard work that has gone into this plan. I cannot imagine the responsibility that all of the administration, all of the officials who have helped and worked countless hours to come up with this, and I'm sure there have been many sleepless nights, and I think it's important to begin by thanking everyone. And I have a little story, so please bear with me for a moment. A couple years ago, I made Thanksgiving dinner for my family, and I planned the traditional turkey stuffing pie situation. And I got a call from a friend who was coming, and she said, "Don't forget I'm a vegetarian." Okay. Lasagna? She said, "Sure, I love lasagna." Okay. Adjust the menu, figure everything out, change the schedule. Got another call. "Oh, I'm gluten intolerant." "Me too." "Oh, crap. Now I have to have two different kinds of stuffing, two different kinds of pies." Then another friend calls, "They're lactose intolerant. There is a lot of milk in pumpkin pie." So here we go again with adjusting everything. And those folks weren't being a vegetarian at me. They weren't trying to make my life difficult. They weren't trying to complicate the situation. They just had different concerns. And we're in a very similar situation right now. I have a friend whose child is deaf, and they're concerned that their child will be isolated when they can't see people's faces to communicate. I have a friend whose grandparent or whose parents watch their children, and they're very concerned that those children are going to bring home a virus to those grandparents, but they have no other choice in childcare. I have a friend who has no grandparents, and so they have to have the childcare that school provides because they don't have another choice. And they're not doing that at any of us. They're not trying to endanger any children. Nobody in this town is trying to endanger anybody. I can say with 100% certainty, having participated in the parent meeting, that every for instance I came up with had been thought of more deeply than I had by the time we got to that meeting. And so on that Thanksgiving, our goal was to be able to celebrate together, and we all had the same goal. And in this, our goal is to have safe children, safe teachers, and a safe community. And if we all work together, and we're all kind, and we're all understanding of our different concerns, I fully believe that West Lafayette is well positioned as a community to be able to do that. So I will sit down I'm sorry. I know that our goal is just for everybody to be able to celebrate together again in this instance too. So thank you.
Randy Stute, you are next.
Randy Stute, I teach German at the high school. First of all, I want to say, yes, I agree with what Amy said about all the plan, and I appreciate everybody's input and the way we've made an attempt to try to think about all the different levels of problems. And I also have to say to our parents, and I think that our students certainly would agree, that we don't ever want to have to experience March and April and May again. That was not learning. That was attempting to hold on by your fingertips, not knowing what was going to happen tomorrow. So I don't think that anybody gets that. And every time I hear someone say, "Oh yeah, I homeschooled my kids back in April," I'm like, No, you did e-learning, which was tough. When your kids showed up, if they did, sometimes it was very good, sometimes not. And it was tough because there's a lot of emotional needs, a lot of social needs that were not being met when you're at home. So the desire to be in the classroom, at least from this teacher, is overwhelming. Up until your discussion just a moment ago, I was also worried about the masking. I'm a little less worried. I'm also a little less worried because I have a feeling we're going to hear some other things from, as you said, people that are already in the code that would require us to do X, Y, and Z. But I will tell the board, you're certainly welcome to visit my classroom at any point, but there will probably be certain periods, no room for us to social distance, because my room will have 30 to 32 kids in it. If you've been in my classroom, it's a pretty normal room. 30 to 32 kids, depending on whether we change what we do internally a little bit. And we'll be lucky to be able to put that many desk bodies and backpacks apart from each other. Normally, I have them clustered. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good thing. It'll be incredibly challenging because a lot of what we do in language, in almost all of our classes, we do a lot of kinetic work. That's got to be gone. So we're going to have to rethink that. But you know what? Your West Lafayette teachers are up to the challenge. I think our students are up to the challenge. And the one last thing I would say is I noticed that the governor has created a new plan called hashtag mask up Hoosiers. I would encourage us to do the same kind of thing, hashtag mask up Devils. And to remember that when you, the student, who was perfectly healthy and had no problems, mask up, you protect me, the old guy. You protect Coach Wood, you protect your staff, you protect the other people in the building who have to be there. So the next time you hear somebody say, well, the young people don't get it, tell them, yeah, but most of our staff isn't necessarily young, and we can't do this without us. So we're all in this together, and I think the same thing is true with whether it be the custodian or the principal, whoever it may be, we all want to work together, but it's impossible to do if we don't protect each other as well. Thank you.
Next up, and I apologize if I mispronounce a name, but Hane Sakata, you are next on our list if you are here. And I apologize if I mispronounced. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for opening this to the public today. My name's Hanai Sakata. I'm a parent. My son is a eighth grader at Westside. I'm just here because I really wanted to urge and make my opinion known that I really hope that you offer a virtual option to all families, even without the medical condition. It's my understanding that TSC will offer a virtual option to families, whether they just, you know, it's just up to them. I just hope that Westside offers this. I think it will be a benefit for everyone. It will mean easier social distancing. It will mean just a safer environment, and it'll benefit the community because we all know that Purdue will also be coming back to town at the end of August. So the numbers have been relatively low in our community, but this pandemic is far from being controlled, and I think we're going to see an uptick. So please, please, on behalf of me and many other families, there's a very lively debate right now on Nextdoor, and the overwhelming majority seems to be in favor of having a virtual option. So please consider this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Mary Dell Forbes, you're next.
Hello, I'm Mary Dell Forbes, co-president of WLEA with Andy Hipscher, who is behind me. I wanted to thank Rocky and Alan and the school board for gathering our input and welcoming us today. I know you've put a lot of work into this plan. At the end of the day, I concur with the former speakers that we all want the same thing. We want to provide the best instruction possible as safely as possible. The American Academy of Pediatrics came out and said that for children's social, psychological, and cognitive well-being, they advocate that we do reopen schools. Yet the debate we are having is over the means. I'm here to advocate for the most vulnerable in our population, and that would be your educators and your staff. We did a little survey of our members, wanted to let you know that more than 50% of your educators are themselves immunocompromised, or they're living with someone who's immunocompromised. We've also measured social distancing is impossible in our classrooms. One at-risk colleague has three students who are attending school and a very immunocompromised toddler. Together, she calculated that every day they interact with 955 other people. So, what can you do for us? Well, if you are purchasing PPE, please consider N95 masks for at-risk staff who request it. Consider plexiglass shields for at-risk staff who request it. Consider possibly moving your most vulnerable staff to classrooms with window for more air circulation, or give them the option to teach from home. And finally, although mandate is a tricky word legally, the ISTA attorney doesn't necessarily concur with the interpretation legally that you have had. So if we can mandate masks in the buildings in which that would be practical, junior, senior high, as we transition in the hallways, possibly Willis, more than 50% of us would welcome that as well. A wise person once said, we'll never know if we've been too cautious, but we will know if we haven't. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ardell. Thank you, well said. Next up, and I'm gonna spell this because my pronunciation's gonna be poor. XIAONYIN, and it's QUIN. I'm sorry. And please approach.
Thank you for providing this opportunity. My name is Xiaoming Chen, and I have two kids attending West Lafayette Community School District. And I do not against school reopening, as I understand that many families have such needs. They cannot stay at home to watch their kids. But please, however, also provide e-learning options to those families and parents who have concerns, who feel not comfortable to send the kids to the school for in-person class. So we sincerely request the school district as can provide such opportunity to this group of parents and the kids without notes from doctor's office. And we also request the school district can consider about like the teachers, the senior teachers, or who have health conditions. So maybe also provide options for them to choose in-person class or online class. Them who choose to teach online can teach those groups of students who opted for the online class. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next up is Ninghu Lan, Lin, I'm sorry, and if I probably got close but didn't get it. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my name is Ninghu Li. I have two kids going to 10th grade and the third grade. So I want to echo the opinion that should offer an option for virtual studying. So basically let each family choose how to best do it. So I want to point out that today we are having meeting in this setting, sitting in this distance. If this is needed, we can't have this in school if all the students go to school. And also, there are so many discussion about the mask. I want to point out, I think the most dangerous part of the transmission might occur is actually eating cafeteria. So you can't eat with your mask on. And that's when even you mandate masks need to come up, and then people mouths will be open. So that's where transmission is going to occur. So if my son have to go to school, that's the part that I'm most concerned, is how eating happens. And that, while there's a lot of planning about separating the people serving food and the student, but how to separate the student from each other. And also, if in the end online option cannot be offered, I really want to, so I'm likely to withdraw my kid to do homeschooling, but then they'll be taking classes maybe in other online high schools. I wonder, at least it should be within the school's authority to make transferring credit, all of those a little bit easier. I think right now there's a lot of restriction. I hope we are not going to that point, but that's the option that personally I will explore if it goes through that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Last is Lamin Zhang.
Uh, First, I want to thank you for everything you have done, you know, for the school, for the students. And I'm probably repeating the same thing you have heard from, you know, all the parents. I have a son goes to high school, I have a daughter goes to, I mean, here, Willis. And I want to say some parents are probably like me, are essential workers. You know, we have to go to the work, and most of my patients are at high risk. They're in their 70s, 80s. So when I heard the plan, the first thing I thought, how do I protect my family and my patients and my colleagues? So I'm hoping virtual learning can be an option. So like people like me, you know, when I go to work, I can say like, no, I'm responsible for my patients. I'm responsible for my colleagues. You know, again, so I'm repeating the same thing as all the parents, please consider virtual learning as an option. Thank you.
Thank you. That's all that the folks that signed up. And we'll now begin with discussion among the board prior to voting on the motion. Any questions, discussion, and we'll also include that for Rachel as well.
I do have a question the virtual learning component for people who have a medical documentation with regards to what are we requiring. I think that we need to be specific. If a family member has a medical condition, we don't have the right to know what that is. And I think that we need to be more specific about what we're looking for in terms of documentation from those families, because some adults may not wish to share what their medical condition is, but they may have one that predisposes.
All they need is a doctor's note indicating that they have a situation that they don't need being.
Right, and I think I think there have been some misconceptions about that, or, you know, I think it's not clear to some people.
It will be on the registration.
Okay.
Yeah, the plan can't cover everything.
I understand that.
And we will in our registration process, make sure everyone understands what we're looking for, and it's just a medical documentation that says that the student has a home life situation or a medical situation that prevents them from being in school.
Okay. And the other question that I have is with regards to masks, and obviously I've had this conversation multiple times, but I do have concerns about what is going to be our policy for students who may end up in a classroom with a teacher who is not enforcing a mask policy, and that student doesn't. And are we willing to work with the administration to maybe move that student to another teacher's classroom that does have a mask policy where that student would feel more comfortable?
We will do our best to reshuffle if we can do so. Credits at the high school becomes a little bit more tricky because of the qualifications needed at the level with regards to specific subjects. It's hard to talk with a mask on. And Bob, I didn't introduce Bob Reiling, our legal counsel, who's been working with us on all of this. The issue comes into the enforceability and what we are going to have to try to do to help all of our kids and help all of our teachers. And we're going to do the best that we can with the situation that we have unless a mandate or a requirement adjusts what we're talking about in this. And Bob, you may want to add some information.
Well, let's this whole concept of mandates is troublesome to everyone. And we know that the governor of the state can issue a mandate, and we have to follow it. As a school corporation, we have powers that are delegated to us, and there's kind of a chain of command. And our chain of command is different than municipal governments or local government. We have to report to the Indiana Department of Education, and then the governor has extraordinary powers under these circumstances. So he is the individual who can say, you can do this and you can't do that. Now, we recognize that if our local county health board would make a decision to mandate something, in all likelihood, we would follow those directions, okay? Here's the problem with the mandate, and I think it's characterization, okay? The school corporation doesn't have the ability to enforce a mandate, first with children, because we have a concept called FAPE. And FAPE is free access to public education. We can't tell a student they can't come into class because they don't wear a mask. Now, there's an argument out there that, well, you treat it as a uniform, and I understand that. There's some lawyers that agree with that. But it's problematic. In regard to teachers, if a teacher chooses not to wear a mask and we have a mandate, our only course of action is to discipline that teacher for insubordination. That's not a real pleasant process, to be honest with you. I think the important thing to remember is we have told teachers that you can require your students to wear a mask in your class. In your class, okay? There should be no question about that. And so I think from that standpoint, we didn't make this an option. We didn't say masks are optional. We've urged and recommended it. And the urging and recommendation is what you're seeing nationally. CDC urges, recommends. They're not in a position to mandate anything. The mandates have to be left to individual governors. The other issue is if we mandate something, and I know you don't want to hear this, but I, as a lawyer, I worry about it. You establish a standard of care. And if we don't enforce that standard of care, and someone could bring a legal action against the school corporation. And I understand under these circumstances, the legalities might not be as important as the safety of the children. So I want to make it very clear. There's nothing about this plan that discourages teachers. We're encouraging it. We're urging teachers to insist that masks be in their classrooms. So it's a wording issue. And as lawyers mince words, and mandating is there's very few things we can mandate as a school corporation. All of our powers are delegated. Now, I want to say something here, and I've talked to the city attorney about it. The city of West Lafayette cannot mandate that the school corporation require their students to wear masks or their teachers, okay? And that's not going to happen. It will not happen. What we want to do is encourage the teachers to require their students, as Dr. Killian said, to wear masks. So have I addressed that, Dr. Killian?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, other comments?
I got a question, Alan.
Yeah, Rachel, go ahead.
My question is about communication. I feel like there's a lot, and I heard you, Rocky, say you're going to move registration up a little bit early and try and work some room in there, because I know we've all of us on the board have seen a lot of communications coming in from parents. Can you help walk through what you think the timing might look like? So registration, and then you'll know what you have, and then when might people expect to see some more information from us?
So the current thought process is that we will start registration, online registration, July 20th. And in that registration process will be communications about preferences with regards to medical documentation, virtual learning, as we've already explained, the online option, and I've asked Brandon to also put an indication that what preference, online versus an e-learning separate option, just so that we have an idea of preference. The reason that I want to know that is if, as Mary Dell said, there are some teachers that may have a medical issue that they can't come to school, we might be able to employ some of them to provide some online learning possibilities, if that's possible. The issue that we have with regards to that as well, that we're trying to work through, at the elementary, it may not be so difficult as it is with for credits at the high school when you have specific subjects needing to be taught by qualified instructors. So if we have a high school student that wants an online learning platform because they don't want to come to school, and I don't have a math teacher, a science teacher, a language arts teacher, et cetera, available to do that, that becomes a little problematic that we're trying to think through. But we think that after probably a week or two of online registration, I would say by the end of July, by the end of July, we should have a better picture of where we are with regards to what we can do next. And my hope is by the August 3rd board meeting, be able to provide to the board the various components and if there have been any mandates or updates with regard to that. So I'm fairly confident by August 3rd, we can have a lot of these questions answered and be able to finalize what programming we're going to have available for the 2021 school year, if that makes sense.
It does. So that's something that we definitely could urge our families to do, is to get on and register early so that we can make the best decisions. It's something that would be really helpful.
Yeah. Yep, good point. Okay, anything else, Rachel? Any other questions down the line?
No, thank you.
Go ahead.
Just talk about the collaboration with TSC and LSC and Dr. Adler and things you learned. And
sure. I'll do my best and try to keep it low key. When we were expecting an announcement about reopening schools from the governor July 4th or after, and if you go to my superintendent's message, that's still the message and the timeline. When we received information June 5th that the announcement was schools are going to reopen this fall, I immediately, the three superintendents immediately began working together to have conversations about how are we going to do this? Can we collaborate? Can we have similar plans? Can we have similar considerations? Because collectively, we can do a lot more than maybe individually. Now, each school district is going to be a little bit more individual because some have more resources and more staff than West Lafayette schools. One of the problems that we have, and it's actually one of our strengths as well, is we have a smaller budget, we have a smaller staff, we have fewer students in school, so we have, I think, a great community dynamic, but it also creates some pressures because we don't have all of the funding and resources that maybe a larger school district would have. That said, we agreed that we would work together on a collaborative process with regards to how we would do this collectively. And so we started out with the process that we might do more staggered starts at the beginning, but then the 180-day calculation didn't work out, so we couldn't do that. We did agree that we would work on an e-learning component for the on-site instruction for kids that are for a short time have to stay home because they're ill. We did agree that we would require masks to be on their persons and allow teachers and buildings the authority to have students wear masks when social distancing is not possible. So all of that language is very much the same. Scott Hanback put together a coalition of the public schools and non-public schools to meet with Dr. Adler, Mr. Houston, and the Tippecanoe County Health Department. We met with them several times. We vetted our plan with them. We received guidance. We received recommendation. Our plan that the plan that I have presented is based upon those recommendations and that guidance. And so we utilized the health professionals. We utilized the educational professionals. We utilized the legal professionals. We utilized the risk insurance professionals. And the plan that we have presented is what's being recommended and has been vetted by the aforementioned group.
Statement arose. So is it it's my understanding from what you just said, and correct me if I'm wrong, that if the city of West Lafayette mandates masks, that would not be applicable to the school corporation?
That's correct. And I think I've gotten concurrence from the city attorney on that. I had a talk with him about it. I don't think that's their intent. And they could regulate on criminal ordinances, things that we can't do. But as far as something like that, they don't have authority to do that. And there's a conflict in powers. And because we're under Title 20, we are recognized as a separate legal entity from what we do. And that is just not going to happen. They're not going to take an initiative that's directed at the school corporation.
So it's my understanding that the only person besides this body, which you don't feel we have the authority to do, would be the governor or Dr. Adler?
IDOE, Indiana Department of Education, could also establish regulations, yes.
Okay. And what is the policy for passing periods at the junior senior high school? Are masks required during passing periods? I would assume that we cannot achieve social distance.
The staggered release time and how many students are in the hallway. So What, if you, in the plan, we have made it very specific that we are going to stagger starts and stop times. We're going to have fewer people in the class, in the hallways. The administration's working on that. What I've heard from Mr. Schreiner is that if social distancing isn't capable, masks will be required in the hallways. Social distancing is impossible in any parts of any of our schools, masks will be required for people to wear.
Okay, other questions or comments? I think one of the, as an overriding theme here is, in the messages, our first goal and first duty as school board members is to provide a safe learning environment, not only for students, but for teachers and for administrators. And obviously in this situation, it's even more difficult and more of a challenge, but that doesn't mean we can't rise to that challenge. So we certainly take your comments as to heart. It's in our thought process every day as we work with our staff and work with Dr. Killian, because we want to have the best situation. We believe West Lafayette will rise to the occasion, but we also know that there are things outside of our control, one of those being the virus. So we appreciate the comments, very instructive, and today I appreciate the reasoned approach that all of you brought to the fore. So any other questions before we have our vote? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed.
Okay, we have six votes aye, one opposed. The motion carries. All right.
Hey, Alan.
Yes.
I'm an aye, too.
Yes. So we had six votes with and one opposed, okay? And now we'll move to... next regular school board meeting, which will be does not include any other special meetings that could get called before then, will be on Monday, August 3rd at 6:30 p.m. I need a motion to for adjournment, and I'll take a motion right now.
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer, second by Mr. Marley. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? And opposed? And that motion carries. All right, thank you all for your attendance today, and we appreciate your time.
Bye, Rachel.